Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from the book of Ruth, select passages from the first chapter. Listen now for God's holy word. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Malon and Chilion. They were from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. When they had lived for about 10 years, both Malon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons or her husband. Now, just summarizing the middle of the chapter here, Naomi decides to return to Israel, and she tells her daughters-in-law that they should stay in their home country of Moab, but Ruth, one of her daughters-in-law, refused to leave Naomi's side. So picking up again with the Bible, Ruth says to Naomi, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she did not protest any longer. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women of Bethlehem said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me Naomi no longer. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me? The Almighty has brought calamity upon me." So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning we find ourselves in the longest of the church seasons, the season of Pentecost. This church season begins 2 weeks ago at Pentecost, and it stretches all summer long and into the fall until Advent starts again in the end of the fall. So we have a lot of time in this church season to listen to God's word from various places within Scripture. And for the next 4 weeks, we'll be listening for God's word to us in the Old Testament book of Ruth. The book of Ruth comes in the middle of the historic books of the Old Testament. The books of Joshua and Judges come just before Ruth. And just after Ruth come the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. In these books, we see the grand and sweeping stories of God's people and their histories. These books tell stories of predominantly male figures, leaders like Joshua, prophets like Samuel, and various judges of Israel, and finally the great kings of Israel as well. In the midst of those grand stories, right in the middle, is this, the humble book of Ruth. It is the story of some women, Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. Our focus this week is on the first chapter of Ruth, and in this first opening chapter, we see how Naomi's family experiences setbacks, sorrows, and great difficulties. They are forced to leave their home due to famine. They move to the strange and unwelcomed land of Moab. There, Naomi's sons get married, and for 10 years, things go fine enough, but disaster strikes. Naomi's husband dies. Then death also carries away her two sons, and Naomi is left out of place and empty. By the end of the chapter, Naomi asks people to stop calling her by her given name, Naomi, which means pleasant or beautiful. Instead, she asks people to call her Mara, the Hebrew word for bitterness. As she says, for God has dealt bitterly with her. I believe that we all can relate to Naomi here in chapter 1 of the book of Ruth. She goes through famine a natural phenomenon that makes life nearly impossible, an experience that knocks her and others from the comfortable and easy rhythms of daily life. Famine displaces Naomi and forces her into a strange and an unwelcomed reality. We too have been living through years now of a famine of our own. In our case, the famine of a pandemic, the famines of racial unrest, the famines of political conflict, the famines of now inflation and feelings of insecurity about the future and the economy and what our lives will be. In the midst of all of this unrest, we, like Naomi and her daughters-in-law, we have known the sting of death and the loss of loved ones. Naomi loses her husband and her children, her two sons. And so too, many of us have lost loved ones in these past few years. Like Naomi, describing words of beautiful and pleasant, at times they don't seem to fit our experience. Like Naomi, we find other words to be more fitting. We find descriptors like sorrow, despair, and bitterness a better fit for our experience. In the midst of all of this trouble, the words and decisions of Naomi's daughter-in-law, Ruth, are hope-giving and uplifting. Ruth cannot undo the sorrows of Naomi's experience. She cannot rewrite the history of famine and loss that Naomi has experienced, but Ruth can decide to join Naomi in her sorrows and stick by her side. Ruth's decision to travel with her mother-in-law is heroic. It is compassionate. It is loving. Ruth's decision in certain inspiring ways makes Ruth a type or a model for Christ. One way that this is the case is that Ruth's love for her mother-in-law, Naomi, is incarnational. Jesus became incarnate, which means that he took on our flesh. He entered into our lives and into our world and our experience. Jesus took on our sorrows and our struggles. He came into this world and he faced the same temptations that we do. He lived as we do. He knew times of hunger and times of loss. We can assume that Ruth and Naomi spent time weeping at the gravesides of their loved ones who died too early. And we know from the Gospels that Jesus too knew tears. We can read in the Gospel of John that Jesus stood and wept at the graveside of his friend Lazarus. Ruth and her decision to stay with Naomi was an incarnational experience of love. Ruth joined Naomi. She joined her even under the reign of a God that sometimes allows us to experience the sorrows of death. Jesus joined us in this experience and existence where we too both know God and at the same time we know the experience and the sorrows of death. Ruth's love for Naomi was incarnational. Ruth didn't just say to Naomi, "I love you, and I hope things turn around for you. Have a good trip back to Israel." Ruth's love instead motivated her to do more. She joined Naomi in Naomi's difficult journey. Ruth said to Naomi, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge." So too does Christ Jesus say to us, "Where you go, I will go. And where you dwell, I will dwell." When Christ Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent us the Holy Spirit, which comes not to dwell in a temple or a worship space or in a sanctuary built with human hands, but the Holy Spirit comes to dwell, to go, to lodge in our hearts, so that where we go, God goes with us always. Ruth said to Naomi, "Where you die, I will die." And Jesus said to us, "Where you die, I will die also." Within Scripture, death is understood and described in several different ways. But one of those ways is that death is a consequence and a result of human sin. Sin is death-making. And because we human beings choose to disobey God's good guidance and direction in life, the result is that we are headed towards death. In this sense, Jesus didn't have to face death if he didn't want to. He was God. He didn't have to die where we die. And yet Jesus chose to take on our existence, even to the point of joining us in our experience of death. Jesus says to us, like Ruth says to Naomi, where you die, I will die also. We face death, and so too did Jesus. In fact, he faced a worse death than ours as he died in a cursed manner, hung publicly on a cross, being forsaken before God because of sin, so that we wouldn't have to know that same terrible experience. Ruth says to Naomi, your God will be my God. And it struck me this week that Ruth was kind of crazy to swear allegiance to Naomi's God. Think about it. When we read those words, we usually think, ah, how sweet it is that Ruth, a Moabite, has just converted to worshiping the God of the Bible. But what is Ruth's exposure and experience to the God of Israel at this point in the book of Ruth? At this point in the story, all that Ruth has known of Naomi's God is that Naomi's God has allowed a famine to take place in his home turf of Israel, where Naomi and her family has fled from. And then after 10 years of living in Moab, that God has allowed Naomi's family, her husband and her two sons, to die. This God, Naomi's God, he doesn't seem like a real winner here at the beginning of the book of Ruth. And yet, Ruth is willing to throw her lot in with this Naomi's God. Why? We must wonder why. Why would Ruth say, your God will be my God? And the only answer is that it must have been for Ruth's love for her mother-in-law, that Ruth's desire is to be with Naomi and to care for her. Ruth says to Naomi, your confusing, confounding, and all too often silent God, your God will be my God. When Jesus came to earth, he, like Ruth, threw his lot in with us, even before our all too often silent God. When Jesus came to earth, he entered into our existence, including our sometimes fraught relationship with God. Jesus said, the God that you've been wrestling with, that God I will wrestle with too. I will live before that God. I will pray to him in the garden. I will ask him to change his mind. I will sweat anguish, drops of blood before our God in prayer. I will call out to him from the cross. Our confusing and confounding God, your confusing and confounding God, will be my God as well. Ruth's devotion to Naomi, her willingness to join her in the slog of her despair, it is truly an act of incarnational love. Ruth says to Naomi, I will go with you. I will enter your hardship. I will join you along the way. Your destiny will be my destiny. The reason that Ruth chooses to stick with Naomi, perhaps the reason was that Ruth understood that the alternative would have been worse. The alternative would have been division, separation, and sorrow in isolation. The alternative would have been no hope whatsoever for her mother-in-law, Naomi. In Ruth chapter 1, we see that Ruth refuses to leave Naomi hopeless. My friends, Jesus Christ refuses to leave us hopeless. Ruth is for us a model of Christ. Later in the story, Ruth will become the source of new life for Naomi. Ruth's womb will carry and bear a son, and his name will be Obed. And Obed will be given to Naomi as a companion, a friend, and a caregiver later in her later years of life. Ruth provides for Naomi new life. Ruth is a type and a model for Christ in her role as the source of hope. And my friends, Jesus is our source of hope. Jesus is our source of new life. Like Ruth, Jesus' story is about new life. Jesus comes to us as a child of hope. He is carried in a womb. He is born into this world, and he comes as a miraculous child born to bring light into a darkened world. And he comes to make a new way possible. He is born to bring life, and he is reborn to share that life with us. On Easter, after having known death on the cross, we see that Jesus emerges for a second time, not from a womb, but from the tomb, to make a new way possible. Why? Why did Jesus join us? Why did Jesus devote himself to us as Ruth devoted herself to Naomi? Perhaps the reason is that Jesus knew that the alternative was unbearable. Jesus refuses to leave us hopeless. Chapter 1 of the book of Ruth ends with a word of hope. Ruth and Naomi arrive in Israel in the land of Bethlehem, and we are told that they arrive at the beginning of the barley harvest. They arrive empty, but the harvest will soon come in. Thanks be to God. Amen.